Hey everybody, my name is Lee Olson and I'm so glad you're here because today we are doing the blood, sweat, and blessings portion of the show, where we bring in somebody that's truly made a dent in this world, somebody that we can all take something from to find out exactly how and why they did what they did. We're going to pull back the curtain and we're going to find out exactly what blood and what sweat it took to get to the blessings that they have today. So if this show has made a difference in your life, give us a 5-star review. Share it, of course, but leave us a comment. Tell us what you'd like to see or tell us how it has helped you and your story. I'm glad you're here and enjoy.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the Lee Olson Show. I am so glad you're here for the blood, sweat, and blessings portion. We have got a very interesting guy with us today. We have got Ben Londo from San Luis Obispo, California. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lee. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So if you don't know Ben, quickly jump on Google and you'll find all about him, but he's done a lot of great things in his life. But I want to show you the blood. I want to show you the sweat, and I want to show you the blessings that resulted from all of that. And the model of an American that he is, husband, father, coach, and then a very talented athlete to boot. We're going to find out the nuts and bolts of exactly how and why he turned out as special that he did. So, first to start off with, if you're struggling with what's happening in America right now, you need to stop complaining about it and take an active role. My friend Ben here is a great example of what you can do. Many times you think about having to do these crazy things, turn over government. No, it starts with training the youth. It starts with being on school boards. It starts with being the watchdog in your own home, in your own community, and in your own family. And Ben is truly a man after my own heart, John Wayne's. And if you're with me, then please share this podcast so that we can reach more people to realize how special Ben is, but to create more people like him. So, with no more ado, Ben, let's get started with you. Let's start on a timeline. Let's start at the very beginning. Okay. So, you're growing up and you turn into this monster of a rodeo man. You correct me if I'm wrong, but you win. College finals 3 times. You win the all around at the college world championship all around 2 times, bareback riding 1 time. You won the Columbia Circuit final, or you went to it 12 times, won it what, 4 or 5 times? Is that right?
I don't remember quite, I guess. Seems
Well,
like
you
a
went to the
stretch.
Dodge finals 9 times, and you were on track to make the NFR several times, and then injuries plagued you, stopped you every time you're kind of getting on a roll. And I want to find out, one, how did you get to where you are? I know your dad's a very special guy. He held the arena record at the NFR with 88 points forever, right?
At 23 years, I believe.
23 years. And then your dad's also pretty intense. He's a hardcore cowboy, been to Vietnam for 2 years, right? All right. So take us back. Ben's in diapers. Fast forward to Ben's a bad cat rodeoing. How'd you get there?
I had a lot of opportunities. Growing up in Oregon, had a good family support circle, my mom and dad, anything and everything we wanted to do. Both my sister and I, we played damn near every sport. We went to, small schools all across Oregon. So it was one of those deals where everybody had to play, 8-man football, barely had enough to field the baseball team, that kind of stuff. But, always had great opportunities. My mom and dad, any soccer league, any little league all-stars, anything we wanted to do, we got to do. And they made sure it happened, no matter the financial strain or the hardship it put on them. They were excited just to make it happen. Got into junior rodeo and high school rodeo, and once again had all the opportunities. Had great coaches up there. Of course, learning from my dad, but getting to learn under the tutelage of like Clint Corey and the bareback riding and to be around those guys and have those opportunities in Oregon, it was a really good group of of student athletes and kids my age growing up in the rough stock world, and lots of great schools and experiences to learn the trade. So just opportunities is what's been able to pave the way for me, I would say.
You know, I love how humble you are in all situations, and this is no different. Where right now, I ask you, what made you so special? You ultimately said opportunities brought to you from other people. So I think you're holding back a little bit. Did you, from my understanding, your dad did not force you to rodeo. Is that true?
No, he, you know, he never really forced anything on me. I mean, everything that we did was strictly on our own free will. In fact, I really was completely the other sport driven all the way till I wasn't maybe till 12 years old that I even really showed much interest. And we'd grown up working on the ranch and branding calves were open and everything. Just, I hadn't changed my mindset until probably about, I want to say 12 years old that I really started getting interested in pursuing rodeo as a sport.
That is pretty awesome. Now, what about entering your first event or school, first school you went to?
The first school I went to was a Clint Corey school, Clint Corey and Bobby Moat, bareback riding school. Yeah. And I showed up with my dad had found me an old leather hand-holt rigging, trying to remember where we got it from. And just a fencing glove, you know, just like how he started. And, you know, I started riding ponies in the peewee rodeos, and it was a double-handed rigging, and that's kind of how I got my start in the bareback riding, and then riding calves and steers and cows. But when I went to that first school, Clint Corey gave me his backup rigging and his backup glove. Like when I really started going to one-handed bareback riding, and man, I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world, because here's one of my heroes that just gave me his. And I mean, he pulled it right out of his rigging bag. It was his backup rigging. Like, here you go. Here's your start. And for the bareback riders of the world, it was one of the old PR-94s, which in the day was like the Cadillac of bareback rigging. So, yeah. Well,
isn't rodeo so special when literally your competition will train you and give you the shirt off their back?
Yeah.
Pretty special. Didn't you pay for your own yourself? Your own school, or wrote the check yourself, or what did you do?
Oh, I think what you're referring to, and you're probably talking to my parents. Yeah, I just got this wild hair. I think it was when I was 8 or 9, maybe even 10. There was a bull riding, an open bull riding at the fair, and I just grabbed an entry and filled it out. And I think I maybe forged one of my mom's checks and sent it in or something. Yeah, I think you had to be 18 to enter, or 16 to enter, or something. But I just decided that day I was going to be a bull rider. I don't know what spurred that along, but
that is pretty awesome right there. I don't know your dad, but I got a feeling I know what he's like, and I would love to know his reaction to that. And anything less than swelled up with pride, but acting like you're a moron, would probably be somewhere in there, huh?
I think that probably summed it up. Yeah.
That's a moron, but my boy. All right, so I want to get to the happy ending of you being this world-class coach, but next let's go on to your family. So tell me about your wife.
Yep. Rebecca, we've been together for quite some time. She's a great gal. I met her on the rodeo trail. She's from Oregon as well. Extremely talented. You know, she brings all the artistic talent and brains to the operation. And I'm glad my kids took more after her than they did me. But she's amazing. She does leather work. She did leather work through most of our time together. She's into sugar cookies now, but they're not just any sugar cookies. They're these super elaborate, artistic designed, amazing creations. Like, she doesn't do anything even thinking about half-ass. I mean, everything she does, she gets the best equipment, does the best job, and just puts out the best product she can. Otherwise, if she's not happy with it, I've seen her tear a purse apart that took her probably 2 weeks to build and start over. It's pretty amazing, the dedication and the ability that she has. She's an amazing mother. She does most of the work with the kids. And it's just, I get to show up and be the fun dad and get to be there for all the fun stuff. And she does all the day-to-day, the grueling stuff that, the mothers of the world do. And she's a great mother for it.
Gosh, what a gift from God. That's awesome. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your kids.
Yeah, I've got three kids. I got two boys. Liam's 12, Luke's 10. Or sorry, Liam's 10, Luke's 8, and Layla's 4. Great kids. They're up for anything. It's amazing how different they all are, how their personalities are so different. The two little ones are kind of carbon copies of me, and the oldest one is he's very much got my wife's personality. But how much they all kind of each have a special relationship with both my wife and I, and how they interact with each other. We're very blessed because they all get along really well. They all, have deep concern for each other and love for each other, and really go out of the way to help each other. It's neat to see them all in action.
That's awesome. I don't know how you would differentiate between if they act like their mom or their dad, because I feel like from what I know of you, you're wired just like your wife.
Yeah, she's more attentive to detail and probably less distracted. Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place a lot of the time, but she's very dedicated, focused, and she keeps the train rolling.
Right on. Well, so I want to go into Cal Poly and everything that you've done there. But before that, just in short, can you just tell me, like, the Cal Poly, it takes a ton of your time, right? How many hours a week do you suppose you put towards that?
You know, it's one of those things. We all put a lot of work into jobs we're passionate about. I put a lot of time into this program, and it seems like everything that I do, whether here or not, in some way is focused on building this program or building myself to make me a better coach or doing things for my family. But all of it seems like one big mission, my mission in life and what maybe God has put me on the earth to do. It all seems to flow together. So counting hours, I mean, that's tough. It's not a clock in, clock out kind of deal. This morning on the way to do a podcast with you, and one of our student athletes has broke down on the freeway. So it kind of delayed me about an hour getting back to you, but it's part of the job, and it's neat to be, a person in these kids' lives that they can call at, 5 a.m. and know that, you can come help them. And if they're struggling with classes, they're somebody you can call, or they're struggling in life, just need advice or just need somebody to talk to, that you can be that person, to all these students and to your family. I mean, like I say, it all kind of blends together. I mean, we got 105 kids on the team, and I don't think there's any one of them that wouldn't feel comfortable coming and talking to me about, some of their deepest personal issues, and knowing that I wouldn't judge them, I wouldn't hold it against them, and would sincerely be there to help.
That's what real men do right there. Amen. America needs more of that guy right there.
Yeah.
Proved my point right there. So one thing that I always tell people is, they're so quick in the rodeo world to say that or even in the horseshoeing world that I'm in, or just anything, even baseball, whatever. Like, people are so caught up in the world champ or this guy or whatever. And then most depressing thing I ever did in my rodeo career is meet my idols. Turns out a lot of them are drunks. A lot of them aren't good to their wife, aren't good to their kids, got drug addictions, got all this bad stuff. Well, now I don't want to be anything like those guys. So my point is you have to be careful with who you let influence yourself or your kids. So they're not just going to come back with whatever skill they're going after. They're going to come back with the bad habits or the good habits too. Would you agree, Ben?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you are who you surround yourself with, and and the thoughts that go through your head and what you perceive is what happens in the world. So, you might as well surround yourself with good, positive people and good, positive situations.
Absolutely. If I was a parent, if I heard people, a coach talk like you, I'd be like, we're going there. Game over.
Well, thank you.
But so I know that you've been offered some big opportunities outside of your family, outside of the college, that you sidelined to take care of your family. And to me, that was one of the most impressive things I've seen. Tell me about your daughter.
Yeah. You know, my daughter, she's a fireball, a little redhead. She has more spirit in her little body than I think I've ever seen in any individual. We had some health issues with her starting about this time last year. Really odd, you know, high fevers for weeks on end, dropping weight. There was just a lot of things going on, and you know, we went to some of the best medical facilities here locally and down in LA. We're very fortunate to be close to, you know, some great medical research and treatment facilities here in California, and just had these guys perplexed. We were in and out of the hospital quite a bit last year. And we're still kind of on the hunt to find what had happened and what may could possibly reoccur with her. You know, it's kind of coming down to what we've decided is some kind of genetic mutation, gene mutation that happened within her system, and her body's still fighting to recover from it. But we've come a long way. So, you know, all the connections through this job and the Western world and rodeo community and the rancheros community, you know, we've had access to the top healthcare, to the top opportunities that any family could ever hope for. And we've got the best people working on this, and she's doing amazing now. I mean, just in these last 2-3 months, her blood numbers have been, I mean, it's almost better than normal for a kid her age. She's been putting weight back on like crazy, and never once has she ever been upset about any of it. You know, even when it was probably at its worst, she'd have 104 fever and just be running laps around my two boys and just giggling, laughing, having fun. She'd go over there and she'd lay down behind the couch and crash for a little bit and jump right back up and be right back in it. You know, never once did she ever get down. I don't even think she knew she was having trouble at all. But it was scary as a parent. I know my wife and I, you know, it was a pretty touch and go situation there when I was hearing some of the things that the doctors thought might be going on, and looking at, you know, gloomy outlook and really just not knowing what's going on was a big part of, you know, what makes it scary for a parent. You know, nothing worse than when your own child is sick or having issues, and it's a helpless feeling, number one, not knowing what's going on, and number two, not being able to do anything yourself for it. But we've been very blessed. Things have been extremely, extremely better for us, and she's doing great.
That's awesome. It just quickly rolls off the tongue when you say a genetic mutation, and you still don't know what it is, right?
Right, right. We've got, you know, they flew in a gene specialist from Philadelphia to work with us on this. And basically how he explained it is, it's one of those things you can test and test, but it's not until you find out what's missing that you know what you're looking for. So now my wife and I are both going through these genetic tests to kind of compare my daughter's genotype to ours and start and see which of these structures might be kind of lacking and why this happened in the first place, and just be prepared more maybe if this ever happens again.
Wow. So in a not very funny way, like, you have your name disease.
Right.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it fully grasps the reality of the situation when you say that. Like, I've talked to you, and I haven't been in your shoes, but I felt your pain. I guess I tried to. You struggle. This was a daily struggle for a year of not knowing what's going on, worried about your daughter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. Well, you guys have been definitely tested by fire, and you guys are beasts, meaning you and your wife in your personal careers, but as a family, I mean, like I keep saying, you are, if every family was like you, America would be in a great place right now. So the whole time you were busy with the college too, right? Working, juggling.
You know, it kind of all peaked right there just before our college rodeo. We put on a decent sized college rodeo out here in April, and it was probably right there end of March when things really started getting gloomy for my daughter. Our local doctors were, you could tell they were starting to get concerned because, you know, her blood, the numbers in her blood that we were kind of tracking just kept kind of cascading down. Inflammatory markers are going way up. White blood cell count was way out of track. And her hemoglobin was just dropping like crazy. And you know, it was, I remember when we had the chat, and my wife was at the doctor's office, and you know, our local pediatrician is a great gal and been a great support circle through all this, said, I think you guys need to load up and go to LA like tomorrow. You know, that was scary. And that was, I think that was the week of the rodeo that all that happened. Kind of hard to put all the timeline back together looking back now, but you know, my wife was down in LA at the hospital with my daughter for about 4 or 5 days there right before our rodeo, and then came back right in the middle of it. So it was one of those deals. I had a lot going on here that week, and it was hard to have my head in any of it with them down south.
That is crazy. You're hands down busiest time of year and have that put on you. They always say God will only give you what you can handle, and apparently he thinks you're a beast.
Yeah. You know, it was, we were very lucky. And you know, she wasn't at any critical levels. It was just one of those things where, you know, no one knew what was going on. Nothing was adding up, and it was looking like it could go worse in a hurry.
Yeah, because you was losing weight and had bumps and stuff, unexplainable things happening, right?
And this was all before kind of a lot of that started, right? At this point, she her legs were just swollen up. She had these kind of weird red rashes all over her, and you know, before all this really kind of got too bad. Yeah, we were just right in the very first stages.
Well, to be courteous of time, we have a special guest on. We actually have two, but the one I want to talk to first. So let me say this. I grew up in South Dakota in the middle of nowhere ranching, right? Call me country dumb. But every time I rodeoed around there several states, but only thing I knew about California is like a flash of downtown LA, right? Like I just thought everybody in California had lost their mind. And then I finally went there, and it was one of the most beautiful places in the world. Then you come to find out it's like, what, 80% agriculture there? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome, right? Well, then you hear all about the politics, how California's politics are terrible, right, Ben, in short?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what a breath of fresh air this guy is right here. I've never been, there's moments when I'm proud of America, and one is when I see you, two is when I see Ian Parkinson. So he is the sheriff of San Luis Obispo, California. And if you guys remember in the news during the midst of COVID, when they were talking about lockdowns and how you could not gather in together and you couldn't go outside, this man stood up being the sheriff, which is an elected position, which could be career suicide. He stood up and said, I'm not getting people in trouble for trying to go outside and get some fresh air. Is that right, Ian?
Yes, that's correct. Good to see you guys.
Ben, yeah,
I don't see Eddie, but I see his name up there, so he's probably on. But Lee, great to see you. I you know, I appreciate the fact that you're wearing a clean shirt today. You actually look good.
How about that, huh? Miracles do happen.
They do.
So, for one, I truly mean what I said, and I am proud to know you. But tell me about the effects that... Tell me what you know about Ben, and tell me the effects that he's had on the community. He's been the coach there for like 11 years, I think. Is that right, Ben?
This is my 10th year, yeah.
Okay. So just tell us about him. Tell him what you know. What effects have you seen in the community? I mean, are the rodeo kids, like, they can be viewed from personal experience as a very rough crowd, wild, don't get around them? Or what kind of reputation do they have? A good reputation? Or what do people say? And he gets all the support of the community. Surely somebody likes him there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's a connection, and you know, Ben is the coach at Cal Poly. Long storied history of different sports, but being that we're really an ag community, rodeo has been very popular, and I know just the time that I've known Ben, I think the notoriety, the respect that people have for the Cal Poly Rodeo program has grown significantly. I know that, you know, we've had a connection, Ben and I. I have one of the guys that works for me, who's also a ranchero, by the way, is a former Cal Poly student and on the rodeo team. And I think the community is attached to Ben because I think Ben's an easy person to be around. He's taken the program leaps and bounds to where it was. I mean, you probably know this, Lee. You know, what has it probably been, 4 or 5 years maybe now, Ben, that he put on the April rodeo in the football stadium. And I think there was attendance record for college rodeo at that event. Amazing. And doing our own rodeo now, I appreciate what he does so much more. You know, catching the tail end of that, knowing what, you know, Ben has gone through with his daughter. I think to be putting on a rodeo at the same time going through that makes it even harder. When we put on our rodeo in May, I've seen firsthand how much work goes into that. So I can't imagine what he was going through, you know, all that. But it just shows the type of person that Ben is and what he's done for this community and the respect people have for him.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have, you know, that first year in the stadium, I dang sure couldn't have done it without you. You know, we had some of the facility workers down there. You sent me a crew of 28 guys. You know, I maybe didn't realize the undertaking we were taking on when I said we could go ahead and handle our own covering of that football stadium. Little backstory, Lee, it was a natural grass stadium at the time. And so you only have a 96 hour window to be on and off of it. So we start laying out filter fabric and covering the field with plywood and dirt on Wednesday night of our rodeo week. And you got to have the dirt in by morning because you got an arena to build, two performances, and then it's all going to come out of there before the end of that 96 hour window. And Ian and the crew helped me line up some guys, and they sent me 28 working son of a guns, and myself, 10 students, Reno Rosser, his crew, you know, we worked through the night, a couple different, about 3 days straight, with not a lot of sleep. And, man, we knocked that deal out. It was pretty epic. Another challenge that first year is as soon as we got the dirt down and we were about halfway through building the arena, what was supposed to be a quarter inch storm turned into an inch and a half. And it was, boy, it was a nightmare. We had a lot of challenges. We had to cancel the first performance. So our first ever performance in that football stadium, I had to cancel and refund everybody's money.
Oh, geez.
It was kind of a real kick to the gut, and we didn't know if we'd be able to pull it off the Saturday night, the short round. But I ended up making everything work out, and it was for the best. Yeah, at the time, it was the largest college rodeo in the world. Just under 18,000 people in a packed football stadium. And it was amazing. It was a crowd that felt like, you know, you were at a bowl game, a college football bowl game, for a college rodeo. It was really something special.
Man, that is awesome. Talk about waving the flag for rodeo and just the Western industry. And 18,000 people at a college rodeo. I mean, that's truly something. And hopefully a lot of those people were younger people, or some of them, I guess, from the college.
That's the neat part of what our event has to offer the Western world and the Western community is, you know, it's during Cal Poly's open house. And even though Cal Poly is very ag based, we do have a lot of the college is the engineering department that we're known for, you know, business department, you know, every college within the College of Cal Poly is pretty well known throughout the world. And you have 50,000 people on campus for open house that weekend. And I would say that those first couple years in the stadium, that 80% of the people that walked in the gate there, it might have been their first rodeo or probably within their first five rodeos. So it's not your traditional rodeo audience that you're getting to share this with. It's getting a chance to bring in new fans to the industry.
Absolutely. And that just helps everybody. That's a part of the equine industry at all, the Western way of life, even. You do not realize the effects of what you're doing, Ben. And I keep saying it, and you are so good for our country, and very, very proud of that fact.
Lee, let me mention something about that day that he was talking about. Ben was kind of saying it nice that they're workers. Those are inmates that went over and did that, and they do it voluntarily. They're, you know, our more behaved ones that we, you know, we put to work in the community. And so we put this crew over, and really Ben and his people largely, you know, had to supervise them. I mean, obviously we have people there, but, you know, they're the ones directing them how to do the work. And the funny thing about that, and to me, was the next month, of course, was the Rancheros ride. And I went over to 4Q's camp, and Cotton Rosser, who is obviously a legend in the sport, was there. And he sees me and he said, he waves me over. He says, Ian, sit down next to me for a second. And he told me, he goes, I just want to thank you for bringing those convicts over to help do that. And I love the fact that Cotton said convicts, because it's such an old term, but it shows the appreciation. But I can tell you that my conversation with Cotton was nothing but praise for the work that Ben did. He was so entirely impressed, and obviously he is so vested or was so vested in Cal Poly Rodeo. But when Cotton speaks and he speaks highly of somebody, it was absolutely sincere. And to hear that come out of his mouth, how much he appreciated what Ben was doing at Cal Poly and how impressed he was really what I took from the conversation. And I already knew that. I already gotten to know Ben, but hearing that from Cotton just validated everything that I saw, because you talk about a guy that knows rodeos, Cotton Rosser knows rodeos. And when he's impressed by, you know, by a rodeo that Ben put on, you know, impressed me.
Absolutely. One thing though, you know, there's a lot of people that know a lot about rodeo, but you're talking about Cotton Rosser. I mean, he battled California politics on fighting rodeo for a long time, didn't he?
Yep. Well, as you mentioned earlier, Lee, California is a different state. You know, unfortunately, you know, the politics are horrible. You know, what is being done to the state is horrible in a lot of ways. But I assure you that there are pockets of California that are definitely rural, conservative, that don't buy into that. We happen to be one of them. Central California, central, you know, the east part of the state too, over in the Central Valley, pretty conservative areas and pretty supportive of the rodeo. It's unfortunate that, you know, a guy like Cotton has to fight politics trying to kick, you know, rodeo out of the state in any way.
Absolutely. But you guys should both be very proud, as I am proud of you guys, because if it weren't for guys like you, it would truly not be in California. So couldn't agree more. Some of the best people I know are from there. So awesome. Thank you so much for taking time to get on here too, Ian. I know your schedule is very busy. I know you're the big dog there, but really appreciate you getting on and telling us about Ben.
Absolutely. Great seeing you guys.
Thanks, Ian.
All right, see ya.
All right. So before we get to our next guest, let's get into the college. So we're doing pretty good on time right now. But so what I haven't told you guys is I've told you about how impressive Ben's personal rodeo career was. I've told you how good of a family man he is. What I haven't told you is the greatest thing that he's doing now. And I believe everything happens for a reason. And it's hard to see sometimes. But the thing is, I'm sorry you didn't make the NFR. But you've done so much more than many of those guys, most of those guys that did make the NFR. You've made impressions on future generations and done more for the sport than if you would have won the world 10 times. You've done that by having the college rodeo of the year two or three times. Is it two, three, two?
Maybe two.
This guy doesn't know anything. He's too humble, but don't worry. I'll fill you in. Three-time regional coach of the year, national coach of the year. And this year at the NFR, he was also the Smarty coach of the year. And one other big award I'm going to let my other compadre talk about. But this man, brick by brick, has turned Cal Poly from a very small program. What'd you have, 18 students when you started?
Yeah, it was something like 18, 20 students.
And this is a tough school to get into, right? It's not like you're middle of nowhere, tuition's cheap. Like, it's hard to get in, right?
It's tough. Yeah, it's the third toughest university in California to get into.
Okay, back that up. Third toughest university in California to get into. That's tough. So you've turned this into this dream for kids to be at. You've turned this into a destination. You now created all of your own funding. You let nothing stop you. It's kind of like everything else in your life. Like they say, we don't have enough funding for you. Ben goes around them, gets funding, right?
We've had a lot of support, a lot of great support. A lot of people jumping on the bandwagon and you know, it just continues to grow. There's been, you know, every program faces financial challenges and roadblocks, and we've been good. And the group that I have, the Rodeo Boosters, Ron Bass, the Rodeo Booster president, the people I have in our support circle have been really good at not accepting no, which I think is a big life lesson that resonates well with all of our students. You know, we put our mind to doing something, by God, we're going to go do it. And we're going to get better doing it. And we're going to, you know, reap the benefits for the program and for these students. And that's just what we're going to do. We're not going to accept no, and we're going to prevail.
That's awesome. There's so many stories we could get into about what you've done, about recreating new ways to make it special. And let's hit the high spots here. So to bring more money, since we're talking about money, they were getting rid of the turf at the college, right? And you took some of your students over there and cut it all up and rolled it up, right?
Well, there's a contractor on campus who helps us immensely, Tom Mano and Mano Construction. They from our first year transforming the stadium, they were sold. They love the hard work and the passion that the students put into our program, and they've helped us through so many projects. But he's always got my back. Yeah, they put brand new turf in the sports fields, the rec fields here on campus, and we had some monstrous floods on campus last year, and all those fields just got covered in mud. And per their warranty, they had to take it all out. So, yeah, they cut it out in strips. And I know we needed an outdoor workout facility for our outdoor gym here at the school, on the rodeo grounds. And now my kids have an indoor batting cage and soccer field inside one of our barns. But Tom, they cut out all that turf, and we went and scooped up the rolls, shook all the mud out of them. It was a little bit of a process, but man, sure made for some nice facilities around here. But yeah, I'm kind of a scrapper. I'm not one to let an opportunity like that fly by. And like I said, we got so many people that got our back and watching out for us that they just, you know, get hand fed an opportunity like that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, just to notice the opportunity was big on you. But so you not only covered your outdoor gym, keep in mind, it's hard to imagine an outdoor gym, but if you've ever been to San Luis Obispo, it is truly like one of the most pretty, pleasant places on earth. So you could have a gym outside, right? Right. So also, you didn't you put that down in your VIP area around your arena?
We did. We did. We put it all through our VIP areas, and that was probably the hit of the weekend. Everybody just thought that was the neatest touch. And honestly, we were just trying to get it out and get it shook out and dry out. And it kind of happened by chance. Like, let's just leave it over here and make the space a little nicer. So yeah, we transformed one whole side of our arena into all VIP with turf and bistro lights. And had a gal that got involved here locally. She brought a bunch of old furniture out there. It turned out pretty amazing.
That's awesome. So what you mean to say is, you sponsors, this is all for you. This is all for you, you sponsors.
We cannot say thank you enough.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your workout program. I know you make everybody work out every day, right?
You know, it's optional. Everything I do in this program is optional. I'm not one to force anything on everybody. We have over 100 students involved in our program now. And when I started coaching, I had that hard-nosed approach of, I'm going to get everybody there. I'm going to make everybody do everything. I've taken much more of a laid-back opportunity approach. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I was taught in sports is, if you truly want this, here's the opportunities. If you don't see value in it, then, I don't want to force you to be there. But we do. We work out every day, early in the morning. We've got women's workouts are Tuesday, Thursdays, men's workouts Monday, Wednesdays. And then we usually do something fun on Fridays. But yeah, I'm big on fitness. I think it's finally getting the respect and importance placed on it in the rodeo world with athletes that it hasn't seen in a long time. And these, our student athletes are very driven. I'll have 25 guys at our workouts every morning. And most of them are, pretty diehard about not missing. We've got a great program right now through Carly Green. It's a very holistic program. We don't use a lot of weights. It's a lot of calisthenics, a lot of flexibility, agility. Also things that I think have been overlooked in the rodeo world for a long time. When I used to go to the gym, it was how much could you bench? How much muscle could you put on? And I think now, if I would have been more concerned about joint strength and agility and muscle stabilization and flexibility, I probably would have had a longer, healthier rodeo career.
Absolutely. So, that was immediately the first thing I thought of when you were telling me about all this and was thinking about, man, what I wouldn't have gave to have myself be in your program and just how stupid and how much wasted time and talent I had being not working at it like you do. So I think that's pretty awesome. Tell me about the mental training.
Yeah, we just started, we've always had a very big presence of mental sports coaching in our program. I think it's, just as important as body, if not more. So we've actually started with a new, I'll call him a mental performance coach, Coit Cooper. He's amazing. He's a, D1, ex-D1 wrestler. He's an athlete, a dedicated athlete his whole life. And he has really refined a system which helps our students. He calls it free up, but it involves breath work. It involves mental clarity. And the neatest part about it is it involves gratitude, being thankful for the opportunity to do what we love. And that's the baseline of it all. It takes all the pressure off these students, negative pressure, fear modules, all the things that we are anxious about or that hold us back in competition and don't let us perform to our best abilities. Coit has found the system that helps us to, release all that tension and find the best selves and be able to compete at our highest levels. So we're pretty new with this process with him. I've had like a test group of my leadership team with him for the last probably 6 months. But it's amazing to see what he's already done. We've got a little shock therapy from all my team. At the end of next week, we're all going to do a cold plunge in the ocean to learn the effects and learn the importance of the breath work that he's kind of given us. So we're going to do a little trial by fire and show him how important this strategy is.
That's amazing. I think one of the biggest downfalls in anything, especially the cowboy lifestyle, is doing it how dad did it or grandpa did it.
Amen.
There's, you take such a, I mean, I feel like you're dipping out of all the access in our modern world now. I mean, even, I mean, golfers are working out and got mental training coaches and physical training coaches and stuff. Why can't we? Why can't rodeo programs? You're just a breath of fresh air. That's awesome, Ben. Tell me, you say you don't make them do anything, but I've known quite a few young men and women. Tell me about the gauntlet.
Yeah, the gauntlet, that's a that's a little part of our program that, you know, the kids really like to share. There's a hill out here behind the rodeo grounds, and it's a dirty, steep sucker. It's covered with thistles, thorns, rocky at spots, but you know, if they're late to practice, usually if they're late to practice, they don't get to practice. But if they're a little bit late, or we've got all kinds of different things, we change it up. Profanity in practice, saying anything negative at all, is the new one we're starting on this spring. You know, you jump off your horse and run up that gauntlet, and then we have a bell at the top. And it takes probably a good 2 minutes to get to the top, from the rodeo grounds at a full sprint. And they get up there and they ring the bell, and everybody gives a war whoop on the ground, and it's become kind of a fun deal. I laugh. My 8-year-old, he's geared a little bit different, and every time we come to the rodeo grounds, he'll go and do it 3 times. he just started doing that, but he's probably the last 3 times he's been here to help me feed or do anything, he just goes and runs it 3 times. And he took my daughter with him the other day, and she kind of picked and prodded her way up there and got to ring the bell too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to have some little warriors you're raising there too.
I hope so. Hope so.
Well, it'd be disappointing if they weren't, right? What about your dress code at practice? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's been something, you know, I was struggling a little bit. A couple years ago, just felt a little complacent in practice. You kind of just sometimes, and I think this happens to everybody in life and whatever you're doing, kind of just feels like you're just going through the motions. I work a lot with Coach John Baxter, and he helped me. He spent about 2 days with me 3 summers ago, and he really is an amazing leader and a great guy to help you find what's really important in life and then motivate you to go after it. So he sat me down and said, you know, as a coach, what do you find important? What do you think is really important here? And we did a whole whiteboard full of ideas and things. And by the end of it, we had a mantra for the program, something the kids say every day before practice. We say the Pledge of Allegiance, the first practice of every day. It's right on the hour, take their hats off and give thanks to be able to live in the country that we do and have the opportunities we have. We implemented a gratitude model into every practice. You know, we start at the every practice with a reflection of, you know, what are you thankful for? Or I might just ask them, you know, I might just task them with something weird. You know, think of a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time that you'd like to reach out to, and I want you to call them today, and then I want you to give me feedback tomorrow at the next practice. You know, things like that. And then probably one of the biggest instruments that we've implemented is cowboy dress code. We wear cowboy hats at practice. It's practice like you play. When we go to the rodeos, we wear a cowboy hat, and we're proud to be cowboys. So we're going to wear them in practice every time we practice. So, and that's been something that the students have really grabbed onto and take a lot of pride in. You know, it's not everywhere that you see that, but some of the great effects of it is, you know, anytime anybody sees any of our social media practice, you know, it's all cowboy hats. And it's just elevated the program. It's elevated the way the kids respect each other, the heart, the try. You know, it seems like once you put on that suit and tie or put on that cowboy hat, you know, act as if you put that cowboy hat on, that means a lot. That means a lot to a lot of people, and a whole, you know, couple centuries of people that have worked pretty damn hard under a cowboy hat to make things happen in this world. So it means a lot to put one on, and it means a lot when they wear one. So that's been very special to our program and something that the kids take a lot of pride in.
Absolutely. Man, that's so cool. So ultimately, so I know John Baxter, Coach Baxter, and he is amazing at that. And what I love about him is he's not telling you, from what I know, he's not telling you what you're going to do. He's figuring out your constitution and writing you down a constitution and then finding you a roadmap of how to get there. Am I right?
Amen. Couldn't have said it better.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about Coach Baxter. He's so special. He deserves a little more recognition.
Yeah. So he's been a great coach in the football world, college football, been at Fresno, been at USC. And he's just a cowboy at heart, you know, no BS, do the work, you know, be proud of your opportunities and, you know, holds people accountable. He's just a motivating individual that is not afraid to this day to, you know, look me in the eye and say, "Hey, Ben, you know, that student showed up late today. What are you going to do about it?" You know, or have you been doing what we talked about or checking in with me? You know, I don't get to follow up with them as much as I'd like. And I'm going to put that on my list of friends to reach out to that I haven't talked to in a little while. He completely 180'd the way I was going about things and gave me some confidence in my coaching abilities. And, you know, if I put the roadmap out there, I set the standards and we provide the opportunities. I think that's the biggest thing I can do as a coach. And other rodeo coaches can attest to this, that, you know, there's a lot more time spent here at the desk doing purchase orders and booking clinicians and figuring out the travel opportunities than actually just out there kicking latches and telling them to keep their tip down. You know, being able to be in a program that I've got the resources to provide these opportunities and having the chance to give the access to a great workout program, great mental strength coaching, great clinicians, and a constitution and a very clear outline of who we are has been kind of my coaching model now. And it's helped me have faith and respect for that and find confidence in that's my role.
That is awesome. I know our mutual friend, Bear Pasco, who is Super Bowl champ tight end, who is a monster of a human being, of course, physically and everything, but mentally as well. I know Coach Baxter has been influential with him, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the thing that I love about Coach. Everybody just calls him Coach, but he's like you, you know, like he's an intense individual that doesn't sacrifice, but is still easy to be around. And I think that's just special. And that's another person that we need more of in America, and another person John Wayne would probably be proud of.
Absolutely. I guarantee it.
All right. Hey, we have another special guest on here. Eddie Prefert, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
I am doing my absolute best to get video to work, but I cannot get the video to work on my phone. I'm parked in a parking lot.
It's all right. We know you got a pretty face.
Yeah.
Hey, so I know you're busy doing, Eddie Prefert, what is your job description? You're the owner of Prefert, but did you make yourself CEO too, or how does that work?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure what I do. I'm basically the janitor. I clean up an awful lot and just go into work every day. So, they call me the SOB, son of boss. So I've kind of earned the right and I've worked my way up and, I enjoy every minute of it. And, you know, it's just kind of a mission in life, just a mission overall, just to run the business, run the family business and work hard and give glory to God.
Amen. Thank you for all of that. So I appreciate you making time to get on here. For everybody that doesn't know, Eddie is truly the big dog at Prefert. He has innovated it. He has taken it to what it is today. He is constantly growing. And he is cut from the same cloth as Ben. We'll have Eddie on another podcast, but It is country, family, God. And he gives back. Every employee has, like, what do you have, 1,200, something like that, I think now. They all love
him. We're right at 1,000 employees.
1,000. I was close. But when you meet him, they all love him. They all respect him. And that is one thing I look up to. But Eddie, right now, let's talk about Ben. So talk about him, one, as a person, and two, I want you to talk about as a sponsor. I know you give back to a lot of the rodeo industry and the Western way of life, but why do you choose Ben, and why do you do so much with him?
You know, that is a really good question, Lee. And Ben, how are you, Ben, by the way? How's it going?
I'm doing great, Eddie. Good to hear you.
Good to see you. It's too bad you can't see me, but it's good to see you. But Ben, you know, I was introduced to Ben several years back. I don't even remember what year it was, through relationships with Cotton Rosser and Reno Rosser.
Hey, before you keep going right there, talk about Cotton Rosser, who he was, because this year at the NFR, Ben here won the Cotton Rosser Legacy Award. So that rolls off the tongue, but before you get clear into Ben, I'm going to make you talk about Cotton real quick.
Then, you know, Cotton Rosser, he personified the cowboy way of life. He was God, family, country, all the way around. If there was another John Wayne in this world, it was Cotton Rosser. He was good to his word. He took care of everyone else first. Cotton's mentality was he took care of everyone first. Cotton was always secondary in anything that he ever thought of. His family is the same way still today, the whole family. And he is as American as anything, as American as apple pie and baseball. And he was rodeo, and he took care of everyone, worked hard, and did everything he could for everyone else. I can't say that enough. He was a true servant of the industry. And Ben Londo is exactly the same. What I've understood from Ben, and once I got to know Ben, and we, you know, Ben and I visit and we talk and we've got to know each other pretty good. Anyone and everyone, and it goes down to this, personal relationships, your reputation. And that's what Ben teaches his kids. And that's what I've learned. And that's what I try to teach everyone around. Your reputation is everything. You can make all the money in the world. You can do everything in the world and be this very successful person. But if you don't have a good reputation, you'll never be a successful person in the first place. But Ben came to us as a endorsee, and Cal Poly became an endorsee through the reputation of the Rosser family, through that. And Ben's reputation from Cotton Rosser is what just basically sold us. And then once we got into doing business with them, Cal Poly and Ben, he just proved everything that was correct. And we wouldn't have it any other way. We wouldn't go backwards. And we are blessed just to be a part of what they do over there, and just to be a small part of what they do over there for all that they do, and helping to support the industry and helping support those kids that are out there.
Amen. It's one thing, you know, Ben, to get a big time sponsor like Prefert, but to have them sing your praises like that, that's a whole nother deal.
We're very blessed to have him. I know Eddie's, all the people over there are just absolutely phenomenal people to work with. They've helped us here at our home arena, completely revamp our facilities. They've helped us transform that stadium, and bring in a top notch arena into to our stadium facility. And then here, just in the last 2-3 years, they've helped us transform that little section of the beach into that breakwave event that we do, breakwave open and bronc riding on the beach. And they have made that process so smooth and easy that, you know, we can get down there and build an arena. And this year, two arenas in, you know, 2 hours, and have it out of there before high tide, and back on the truck and back home. And it would be tough to do with any other system than the Prefert system. And we sure appreciate all their support.
That's awesome. Thank you for that, Ben.
Heck yeah. Eddie, I know you're busy, man, and you got to go. But just tell me real quick, you know, like when you compare Ben and the effects that he has on the rodeo industry, meaning creating fans in the stands, creating followers of the rodeo industry, but also creating the right kind of every student that goes through his program, how would you compare what he's doing with the rest of the world?
You know, I believe Ben, based on what he's doing, and like he had said earlier when I was listening in, you know, he worked with Coach John Baxter, and Coach John Baxter also came and he spent time at my factory and helped us on our leadership and getting our message across of what we do and how we do it to all employees and customers. And he helped in a tremendous way. But what Ben is doing, you know, he's leading that industry in college rodeo, taking it to the next level. And to Ben's credit, you know, no one can do anything by themselves. It takes others and listening to people that are smarter than you and have better outlooks at you and have done it in the past. And Ben is willing to humble himself, listen to others, take their advice, take what they have learned in football, basketball, baseball, anything else in college, or even in an industry or other aspects. And he's willing to listen to those things and just take college rodeo to a whole nother level and be the spear of taking it to that level and doing a high quality program. And it pays off, and Cal Poly sees it paying off, and California sees it paying off, and America sees it paying off. We all have to do our part, and Ben Londo is absolutely doing his part 100%.
Well, I don't know what else to say than that, Ben. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I appreciate it, Eddie. That sounds like quite a bit too much credit there, but I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, you deserve it, and we're just proud to be a part of it all.
Oh, thank you.
That is amazing. And if you're listening in on this podcast, I just want you to notice two things. Two of the greatest men in our industry are telling the secret sauce is getting help. They both said they had Coach Baxter come help them. Doesn't have to be Coach Baxter. But get some help in whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, if you're not moving forwards, you're going backwards. That's the only way. I think both these men would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I learned from Coach Baxter and is you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And what you surround yourself with, who you listen to, is what makes you. And I'm glad to know Ben Londo, because he helps and it makes everybody better.
Absolutely. So Eddie, I'm going to let you go, but before I let you go, I've got a funny story about Ben here that I want to tell. And Ben, you jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things Ben's known for is having huge loyalty, right? You can tell the way he is with his family, the way he is with his program. Eddie, you would assume that he would never switch to a different competing brand if they offered him twice as much money. Would you agree?
I would agree. He needs to give me the opportunity first before he does.
Right. But that one thing that he would never do, and I've got a story for you about we have a mutual sponsor, Cinch, who is just, they're cut from literally the same cloth, right, Ben? They're great people. And Jessica is at the throne, and she is just so special in what she does for our industry as well. And tell me about, instead of me telling it, why don't you tell it? So don't say the brand that wanted to come to you and they were going to give you a small fortune of money, but you didn't like the poster boy.
Yeah, well, I won't say any names then, I guess. Well, and Cinch and Jessica have been so loyal to our program for a long time. And this is a character attribute to Jessica. She told me, she said, if anybody comes to you and can give more money or can do more for you, I want you to jump on it. I want you to do what's best for the program. And that's crazy to hear from, you know, a loyal sponsor.
Right.
But, we did. We had some action come at us, and I called her and talked to her a little bit about it. And, you know, knowing that I was not in any way wanting to make any moves, But yeah, it was an opportunity that I wasn't comfortable with at all because of some of the things that we've seen and what was been represented. It wasn't something that I wanted to put our name on or our program on. And there's like your constitution, you gotta have boundaries and what you believe in and what makes sense and what doesn't. And you got to just keep coming back to that to do what's right and follow what your instincts are.
You know, Ben, I love how humble you are, and I'm going to knock all the sugar off what you just did, and I'm going to retell your story. So people come to Ben. They want to pay him, seriously, a small fortune, right, Ben? A lot.
It was decent.
Yes. So they're going to cut the check to Cal Poly, which is going to give them a lot of opportunity to do more things, right? Ben stands up and says, no, sir, because their poster boy was pretty much exactly against all of his constitution is what he's saying. He's trying to build a good product, focusing more on the integrity and character of these kids that get kicked out. Right, Ben?
That's right.
So the last thing you want to do is be associated with something that is going to be cancerous to your organization, right?
Show me your friends.
Show me your friends. Amen.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love these people. We should have Jessica on here too.
Mm-hmm. I just talked to Jessica yesterday.
Yeah. So that to me is a man. I keep going back. This is what America needs. If you're a rodeo coach out there, I highly advise you to pick up some pointers off this. Or if you're just educating young men and women or whatever you're doing, we all have a chance to influence people in this world. And I really think that we all have an opportunity to be like Ben, even if, and Eddie and Coach and Jessica, if we all just look around. And I think 1 Peter 4:10-11 in the Bible, God has given each of you with a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Didn't say yourself, said one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All the glory and power to him forever and ever and amen. It's truly that simple. Make it about others. Make it about who you're reaching. Make it about who you're in charge of, your family, your community, your friends. And that is truly how I believe you're going to change America. Ben, do you have anything to say about that? Any final thoughts, or Eddie?
All I can say is amen.
I like it.
Ben, what advice would you give the high school kids that are thinking about doing something different? Or just think about doing something, like whether they're coming to you or coming to wherever, like how would you advise them?
You know, I would just, the advice that I always like to give, and you know, Cal Poly, as illustrious as it sounds and amazing as a lot of people, and we try to portray it to be, you know, this is a great place to be, a great Western industry. California is absolutely beautiful, probably one of the prettiest states in the union. There's a lot of opportunity here, but it's honestly not for everybody. You got to be very academic minded to want to come to school here. And if pro rodeo is your goal right out of high school, then Cal Poly's going to make that tough. The students that come through this program and go pro rodeo, they're not doing it quite to the standard that they'd like to be while they're at school here, just because it's a very demanding curriculum. So I would tell the and it's tough to know what you want to do at 16, 17, 18 years old. Hell, I still don't know what I want to do in life. But on some days, it's the same. But, get out there and experience things. I'm really big on students that are interested in our program to come and practice with us, to get the feel of the atmosphere, practice, to see what we have to offer, to meet some of the other kids.
To get a real day.
Yeah, I'm really big about them going off with the students when I'm not around, and hear the backstories and hear the gripes and complaints that they may have about me, just to know everything about it, and I would say that's the only way you can ever really truly understand what options are out there, is to just you know, get out there and experience it. You know, don't be afraid to call coaches and ask the questions that you really want to ask. Don't be afraid to go and try internships over the summer to see if you're even interested in being a vet. You know, I can't tell you how many students come here in the animal science program thinking they want to be a large animal vet and jump ship by the end of the first year. You know, take as many opportunities as you can. We're very fortunate to live in a world where God provides and puts opportunities in front of us. And, you know, most usually everything happens for a reason. So don't miss those opportunities and don't be afraid to try something new or dip your toe in the water.
Absolutely. That was pretty special. So what you're saying is that if you come to Cal Poly, you truly want them to want to be there. You don't want to trick anybody or beg anybody, right?
Right, exactly.
So you say, you make it sound like it's all about the school and not about the rodeo. And that's important. And the reason why you're probably doing that is because there's a lot of people that take online classes and never set foot in college, just purely going to college to rodeo, right?
That happens, yeah.
But not there though, does it?
No, they have a few online courses, but that's one of the beautiful things about Cal Poly is it's learned by doing. And, you know, every unit, every dairy unit, those kids are running the dairy every day. Poultry unit, the ag fields, they're out there changing pipe. And but then there's also a very heavy curriculum base to everything we do. I mean, this is one of the top universities, one of the top ag universities in the country. And leaving here with a degree is, I mean, that's top notch.
You can get a job nearly everywhere if you graduate from Cal Poly, can't you?
It's been pretty renowned for the accolades.
Well, I really appreciate your outlook on that, but I feel the need to kind of toot your horn a little bit for you. Yes, you're going to get this well-rounded character, morals, high education, but you've had a lot of successful rodeo athletes. I think one of the best young bronc riders I've seen, and I'm from bronc riding country.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's a straight up stud.
That guy, he's something else. And he's a great example. He actually turned down two other offers. I was still really trying to build our scholarship budget. I couldn't offer him even close to what he was getting offered at other top universities across the country. He wanted to come to Cal Poly because he wanted the education. During his time here, we were able to blossom the program and get, you know, get the best practice horses we could provide, get the best practice dummies, opportunities, clinicians, to really help him build his career in the arena, all while getting a degree and a master's from Cal Poly. So,
wow,
he's a great success story for, you know, someone who is geared towards professional rodeo, and he's going to go and have a great career. He just missed making the NFR this last year, and he's off to a great start this year. But he's got something great to fall back on, which we know is not stressed enough in professional rodeo. And too many times you see these multi-time world champions, as soon as they hang it up, you know, struggle to find their niche in life. And Quentin, he'll be very well versed as soon as he hangs it up. He could go do anything he wants.
Well, you've had several national college champions, and I know you've had some freshmen even make the college short round. I mean, to me, that in itself is amazing, making the college finals, but making the short round, like Daniel Miranda, the Mirandas from Maui, such special people. But that's kind of people you bring in when you run a superior program like that.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel's another, he's a great testament. I mean, he could go anywhere and do anything. And he can hang with the top calf ropers in the world, top team ropers in the world right now. But he's here to get an education first, and we value that. And we just try to keep as many opportunities in front of him on both fronts so he can achieve those goals.
Let me tell you one thing that is one of my biggest regrets. I know we're running out of time here, but you know, everybody says this, get something to fall back on. And I did that too, but I think you need to reword it. I think that when you look back and you're like, remember in high school, when would I ever use calculus? When would I ever use this in daily life? Well, I haven't used it since, but you know what I have used is thinking. And that is what you learn there. And yeah, maybe you got a degree. Maybe you're not going to use it. How do you know when you get twice as many sponsors as everybody else because you're articulate and you have all these skills that the other guys don't? That's not falling back on it. That's enhancing your life. And I really feel like no education is ever wasted. Would you agree?
I completely agree. Yeah. Even just exercising the mind. I mean, I went through a little spell where I was trying to learn some other languages just to do something different for my mind and, you know, operate a different side of the brain a little bit. It's the brain is a muscle just like anything else. And, you know, learning is flex. So, flexing that as much as you can only makes it smarter.
Eddie, if you're still with us, how big a difference does that make when you're looking at sponsoring rodeo athletes? That can you tell when they've been through college or if they got their master's or anything, or if they just rodeoed and partied?
A lot of times you can tell. You can't tell 100% of the time, but I agree completely with you guys. The more education they have, the more that they're learning, no matter if it's in a field that they're going to be using later or not, the better off they're going to be. And you can definitely tell ones with the best educations, the ones that are most articulate. And most of all, you can tell the ones that have had the best leadership and their coaching and their teaching and all of that. And that goes a long way.
Amen. All right, let's wrap this up. But first, we've got to talk about one of the coolest things that you've done. I mean, yeah, you've put on the best college rodeo several times. Yeah, you're the coach of the year. Yeah, you're the Cotton Rosser Legacy Award, blah, blah, blah. All these things that you've done. What did you win? You won the circuit finals 4 or 5 times. This guy doesn't even remember how many times he made it. And he made it like 12 times. He's been in the Dodge finals like 9 times. To make the Dodge finals, that means you have to either win the average or win the circuit. Big dog. One of the coolest things I think you've done is thinking outside of the box in all situations. And the rodeo on the beach is a great example. And like I told you, if you would just go around to all of these high school rodeo finals and just put a video of that, you'd have 1,000 people coming there. Talk about that real quick.
Yeah. That's been an absolute blessing. And that kind of just fell in our lap. I mean, to be right here by the beach, we're 5 miles as the crow flies from the beach. And we have a very cooperative local state parks department that when we pitched this idea to them 3 years ago, they could have easily said no. In fact, I have no idea why they said yes. But not only did they say yes, but they helped us make it happen. That first year, the Parks and Rec, California Parks and Rec Department covered all the permit costs, covered all the, all the lifeguards, the state facility workers, the porta potties. I mean, they invested. They came in as a sponsor. They could have said no, and they said, let's make it happen. Let's try this out. And they helped cover most of the costs. It's evolved quite a bit. We have a documentary that's coming out on both the Cowboy Channel and the Cowgirl Channel that's at the end of this month. So our social media is just getting ready to pump that out. But it's been an awesome opportunity for these student athletes to share their program, to share the sport with a completely different audience in a completely different way. What's neat about that event is it's rodeo, but it's rodeo in an atmosphere that's completely holistic. And, you watch the videos and stuff, and we leave the ocean side of the arena open. For those videos of those girls making outstanding breakaway runs and waves crashing in the background, and by the short round, by the last set of girls, that water is, it's hitting the box. I mean, they're roping them in the waves, which is just an awesome opportunity that we have. And then we take some horses down there and we show off our student athletes and our talent, our rough stock talent. And we might splash one or two of those in the ocean too, as you'll see in this documentary. But it's been a fun opportunity. It's been, there's not a lot of clout that comes with that opportunity. It's just a chance for us to share something these students are passionate about and share rodeo with the world and just do something big.
Man, well, I can assure you one thing. You are doing something big.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I didn't say it, but one of the most important parts of your program, if you wanted to go somewhere to ride bucking horses, is being able to get on good bucking horses at practice. How many do you have?
We have 65 now. Yeah, we've had brought a lot of good horses in. You know, Reno Rosser, he sent me so many great horses. You know, I joke about a story about Reno is Otbar is a horse that I've loved. In my last year rodeo, and I got on that, I drew that horse 8 times, you know, in various places in California. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, you know, if these stock contractors can rig the draw, but I'm pretty sure Reno, you know, did me some solids and put that horse under me as much as he could. But, you know, got to retire that horse here at our facility, and it's still the favorite horse these kids get on. And you stub a toe and that sucker will drive you in the dirt. But still, you know, lives out on the ranch out at our place, out on the grass. You know, we gather about maybe once or twice every other month and give him a trip in the arena and then let him just hang out on the hill. But we've gotten a lot of great horses from Steve and Cindy Gilbert at Diamond G, gotten various horses from everywhere. But, you know, good quality practice stock is what makes good quality practice. So that's been a huge advantage to our program and why we've been able to kind of keep great opportunities in front of these young bronc riders and bareback riders and bull riders.
Speaking of opportunity, getting coached by you daily on good horses would probably help. I got to know, though, when you see Otbar jump out there and jump and snap them, does it make you want to go put your chaps on?
You know, I thought I would probably miss it a little more when I slowed down, but I'm just surrounded by it every day. You know, whether it's both ends of the arena and just being around the young energy and living vicariously through these students. No, I don't crave it like I thought I would. I mean, every once in a while, it kind of looks appetizing. And then I remember how hard it was to maybe get up and get moving that morning.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess yes and no.
I get it. Well, we are out of time, but I hope everybody can take something away from this as much as I have. And if nothing else, I hope you're as swelled up with pride as I am to hear stories like this, that there are great people out there, even in California. I call this the blood, sweat, and blessings portion of the show on purpose, because there is nobody that got where he is, as you found out. You get the blessings without some blood and some sweat, right, Ben?
Absolutely.
Well, Ben, we thank you for your time. We know you got important stuff to do. Eddie, we thank you too. And anybody listening to the show, this is a calling. This doesn't make a lot of money. So if you like, share, give us a 5-star review and share this with all your friends. And if you take anything else away, be a better American, be like Ben, be like Eddie. And I hope you have a great day, and God bless America.